Hey, Tripodders, it's Lane, and I'm just here to tell you that you're about to listen to a new edition of Tripod Extra, where I do one-on-one interviews with special guests. And this is a conversation with a 92-year-old, still practicing architect named Al Ledner. Mr. Ledner graduated from the Tulane School of Architecture and only briefly left his hometown of New Orleans to go study with Frank Lloyd Wright in Wisconsin. He has buildings all around the country, commercial, residential, and is known locally in New Orleans for a bunch of homes that he built out on Park Island, which you may have heard of because the former mayor, Ray Nagin, lived out there. Including a home coined the Quantro home. So I sat down with Al at that Quantro home because there was a party being held for him, and we met right before the party to talk about his life, talk about his career. And we started with Al explaining to me why this mid-century residence that we were sitting in is a quote-unquote modern design. And before we get to it, if you're listening to this introduction, it means that you are listening to the podcast, which is awesome. And if you have not yet given a review or given a rating to Tripod, that could be your holiday gift to us. Thank you. We love you. And here's my conversation with Al.
Why is it modern? Well, because basically it's generally an open plan. There are no hard and fast enclosures except for the bedrooms and the baths. But the rest of the house is all open in the sense that one flows into the other and there are no doors separating these areas.
So let's get into the other more commercial stuff.
Okay. Commercial, I had done a fair amount of work for another attorney, Raymond Kea. He was also the attorney for the National Maritime Union. And apparently they had called him and asked that he select an architect because they wanted to put up a new building, a hiring hall for the seamen that were in their union. They didn't want an old fogey, as they put it. And they didn't want an old traditional architecture at all. They wanted something modern. Being, friends with Raymond, he thought I might be interested, and I said, he asked me if I would be interested, and I said, yes, I would like to do that very, very much. So that was the first building I did for the union. It's on the corner of Jackson Avenue and Chapultepec. After the New Orleans building was completed, the union officials came down to New Orleans for the dedication, and they said, we want you to do another one, but we'd like you to do another building for Mobile, so I did a building in Mobile.
And then you did a bunch more, right?
Yeah. After the Mobile building, they said, well, we'd like a building in Baltimore. And then after Baltimore, there was Norfolk, Virginia. And a little later on, there was one in San Francisco and another Houston. And about during that period, too, they had a building in New York on 17th Street. And they said they want to go ahead with the new building there because the union membership was growing, and that's how I got started with the headquarters and hiring hall building on 7th Avenue. And it ran the whole block from West 12th to West 13th Street.
You were a student of Frank Lloyd Wright's.
Yes. Interestingly, I was never actually a so-called apprentice because I graduated in 1948 from Tulane. That September after graduation, I went on up to Taliesin, and I brought with me my drawings and a little model I had made, a house I was hoping to build for my parents. And, I knew that there was, Wright had, was charged, well, I was told to enter the fellowship as an apprentice. I think it was something like $2,000. And I didn't have $2,000. So I just take a chance. And I went up. And I finally got to Spring Green and got to Taliesin. I went in and I started talking with various other guys there. And finally, Mr. Wright came in and they introduced me to him. And so I told him, what I wanted to do. And I said, I brought my drawings up and this little model I've made, and gave him the whole spiel, and he sort of took pity on me, I guess, and felt as though I would probably make a good apprentice. So He said, well, you can stay. He said, we'll take you in and see how things work out. And that was in September. Well, in December, I received a letter from a friend of mine who he and his mother had bought property in what was then something rather brand new, Lake Vista. And he wanted to know if I'd be willing to do a house for them. And I thought, my God, my first house. Yes, I would be. So at that time, though, it was sort of strange because Wright and the whole fellowship was planning their trip to Tucson. They were getting ready to leave, and he came to me and said that he would like me to stay at Taliesin in Wisconsin to take care of the buildings, oversee everything. And when they returned in the spring, and he said, you would become a full apprentice. And it was about that time when I got the letter requesting me to return to New Orleans. So I finally, I said, well, no, I would like to stay very much. I would be very honored to do that, except I have a chance now to do my first house, and I feel as though I really have got to get back to New Orleans. So I had to decline the request, the invitation of where it was. And that was it. That stay, though, was very, I had a great time. But from September through December, it was really a wonderful experience. And I wouldn't, ever say that I was sorry I couldn't stay longer. But in a way, I was glad I didn't stay longer.
How come?
Well, after talking with various guys my age that were there, some of the apprentices were so involved with the environment there and living under the influence of Wright, Frank Lloyd Wright, they become so dependent. It's almost a narcotic. They can't leave.
But it seems like he was able to influence you with you simultaneously being able to remain an individual.
Yeah, I felt that was one of the reasons why I was glad that I did leave.
I also learned, about your mother and her...
The Dobash.
Her own career. Say that?
Yeah. She had built up a very great following, and what she is known for, I guess more than anything else, was the Dobash talk.
Which is what?
Well, it's originally a Hungarian taut. It was a very, very rich, sweet type of filling that she thought was too heavy. It probably was fine for very cold weather, but it was too heavy for the southern climate. So she thought that it would be much better to use a custard between the layers. And it's not, like many cakes are just one big piece of cake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love cake.
She made it out of a series of very thin layers, about six of them, separated by the custard. And then after you build this up, you use a buttercream coating on the sides and the top. And then over that you pour on your finished icing, whether it's chocolate or lemon. And you go to any baker today, you can go and all these shops make the Dobash.
Wow, cool. What type of influence do you think that said cake work had on your design, on your architecture?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So you talked about what led to your first commission. What is the last building that you worked on?
The last building I worked on was one I'm working on now.
Okay, so I'm just going to interrupt you because I read an article. I think the article was in 2008. And in 2008, you said you promised this was your last one.
Oh, really? Well, obviously, it was a promise I didn't keep.
How does it feel to still be working at 92?
Very good, except I must admit, I can't do the things I used to do. I can't work on a 7-day-a-week basis and stay up late at night like I used to. So anyway, I'm keeping very busy.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I hear there's a party outside for you,
yeah,
so probably should go join it. But Mr. Ledner, thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure.